Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. From God's holy word. There's a song talking about the Bible, and the chorus states, "The Bible stands, though hills may tumble. It will firmly stand, when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Reading from Romans chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed for ever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of the promise. They are encountered for seed, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. So far we read God's holy word, not all of it. It's easy to understand, but God can give us understanding. Let's pray that he will. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name for all that has been given, all the promises that are yea and amen in him. And Father, we do come in his name alone, asking that thou would receive us because of him. Our name is the name of a sinner. Our name is one that in ourself alone we are under thy wrath, but in Christ we can be under thy love, and we pray that that may be our lot, each and every one of us, myself and those that are listening. And we pray, Father, for a mighty working in the church to revive it. We pray for an awakening in the world to save it. We pray that many laborers might be called and sent into all the fields that are still white under the harvest where the laborers are few. We pray for a reviving also in our homes, that we will know thy word and the church will teach thy word concerning marriage and divorce and remarriage, that the church will give heed when thou hast said, Lord Jesus, that what thou hast joined together, let not man put asunder, and that we might see this as a great need in our country, bringing our homes in agreement with thy word. We pray, Father, for the blessing on parents, children, husbands, wives. We pray also for other needs that there are of those in sickness and injury. We pray that thou would give healing to many, give them faith to look to thee through Christ for that blessing. We pray also for those that are left in their illness through life, many in their beds. We pray that thou would give them the grace promised, even as Paul was told, my grace is sufficient. And we pray especially that thou would prepare them for the hour of death. We pray for those homeless, hungry, war-torn lands, persecuted, and all the calamities that are there in nature, in war, and other areas of suffering. We pray, Father, for the schools to be taught that thou art the creator, the lawgiver, and if we know that rightly, we will know the need of a redeemer. We ask all these things and give thanks through Christ. Amen. As we look again at this word, it certainly shows the love of God to those that Paul is here talking about, writing about, his kinsmen according to the flesh. They have had a special knowledge of the love of God. Some places we read, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We know that the gospel was preached to Abraham long before this, before they were called the descendants of Jacob, Israelites, Jews, other names which they are called, Hebrews. All of that is history, and all of it has wonderful privileges, as Paul here speaks of. He is heavy-hearted for them and even made the strong statement, I wish myself accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Here he has the mind of Christ, Christ who went to the cross for sinners, both Paul's kinsmen, but also ourselves, the Gentiles as well. And here Paul is taking that same place, accursed from Christ for their sake. Then he goes on to describe them. We have seen some of that. The blessing that has been given them. Paul says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who was over all. God bless it forever. Amen. And especially that last statement. Christ came in their midst. And he was promised already to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And we'll look at that more as the covenants that were given to them. I think what we could say, the greatest blessing of all the covenants. It is certainly a covenant that is of grace. We hear that statement, covenant of grace. Many people believe it, but not very many people believe it alike. I've seen books where people say to the writer of the books that you identify me with certain ones, but we're not alike in the covenant of grace. There are many different views of that, what the covenant of grace is. Part of it, much of it, is based on what God said to Abraham in giving him what we might call the covenant of circumcision, that I will be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee. And they stop there. And they say God promised that to Abraham, and also for us and our children. Many would term that as the covenant of grace, grace for us and for our children. But what is really promised there in the context is, I will be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee, and give thee the land in which thou dwellest. The land was described many times to Abraham. Look to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. All that he could see, God would give to him. And that was promised to him and to his seed. And that was a promise to all of his seed, but also a limited promise. It was not promised to me. Unless you are a Jew, it was not promised to you. So it was a promise that covered many, but it did not cover certainly all, and the lesser part of society. So we cannot really say that that is a promise to us and to our children. It is a resting of the scripture. And I say that because it was denied to those who want to quote it and think of it in the time of Christ, the time of John the Baptist. John the Baptist says, say not unto yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. And he even went so far as to say, God can of these stones raise up children unto Abraham. And he called those who claimed to be children of Abraham a generation of vipers. And the Lord Jesus did the same. He called them serpents and many other names. He told them that they were still children of their father, the devil. As we can see that description in John chapter 8, very plainly. All of that is part of the teaching that descendants of Abraham thought of wrongly, way that they had the same blessing as Abraham. And I would believe that they thought of it in a wrong way also concerning Abraham, that they very likely thought Abraham was a good man and saved because of that, but not so. Paul writes of Abraham a little bit earlier in that same letter to the church at Rome, and says Abraham believed in him who justified the ungodly. That was Abraham's relationship with God, believing in a God who justified himself as ungodly and others as ungodly. If you and I are to have the faith of Abraham and rightly be called children of Abraham, we have to believe that God justifies us in our ungodly state and then gives us Christ to be the one to die for our sin, his blood to cover our sin, the ungodly, you and I, and Abraham as well. And that is the right understanding of Abraham and his relationship with God and those who are right with Abraham in that. As Paul writes to the church at Galatia, stating, if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If we have that righteousness that God has provided through and in his Son, then we are one with Abraham. But coming back to this, the different covenants that Paul is here talking about in the plural, he says the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law. We have talked somewhat about in the past messages about the glory, and that certainly was made known when Israel came out of Egypt, and the glory of God was there on Mount Sinai when he gave verbatim the Ten Commandments, spoke them, and then later gave them to Moses on two tables of stone, which were called tables of the covenant. And that was a covenant that God made with them, and often is referred to as the covenant made with them at Horeb. And later, Jeremiah speaks of that particular covenant, that time, as the covenant which they break. But there's other covenants before that that also applied to them, even though they were given to Abraham. And one of the covenants that we can truly call the covenant of grace. Yes, it is truly a covenant of grace, that which God gave to Abraham right after he called him of the early Chaldees, and the beginning of God speaking to him, as recorded in Genesis chapter 12. There we have not the word covenant, like we have so often written in other places and times, and especially the time that God gave Abraham circumcision. In that 17th chapter, we have the word covenant 13 times. That's probably why people talk about the covenant made with Abraham. And it was a covenant, but it was a covenant of law more than of grace. And we'll come to that a little bit later. But coming back to Genesis chapter 12, we see different promises given, and we can call them covenants, because the promises given there that were not described as covenant were later described as God made a covenant with them. I don't know why Moses didn't write that at the time that he gave the same promise, which was later called a covenant, right in the beginning of God's call of Abraham. He says, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. He gave that same promise a number of times through the history of Abraham, and he gave it again quite a number of years later, giving the covenant of circumcision. He also promised then that he would be the father of many nations. Changed his name from Abram to Abraham. So that is one of the first promises made here, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. And we can call it a covenant because, as I said, in Genesis 15, it is called a covenant. Here it is just said, made as a promise. And we might say that a covenant could be looked at in different ways, and one of them is a promise. And certainly, here it is a promise, literally an unconditional promise, and especially the next promise in the third verse, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. There is something that we need to give heed to, and we might stop there for a moment. Our nation, what relationship do we have with the descendants of Abraham? I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. There are those, they may not have actually spoken a curse against Israel, but they speak against Israel today. And I've heard even pastors speak against Israel. I heard one who said, why doesn't our country get after Israel? We are and have been supportive of them through the years. Our past president was very much in support of them, and the president before that was not. The president that we have today, we can't be sure yet in what relationship he will be in regard to Israel, but we have here a very strong time and description of blessing and cursing. I will bless those that bless thee, and I will curse those that curse thee. Certainly, we should want to be in the place of blessing Abraham and his descendants. They have a special place, especially the gospel, as I said, the Jew first and also the Greek, as Paul describes it in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And then he goes on here and gives the most I think the most wonderful promise in all of the Bible. It probably isn't spoken as plainly as some, but it covers the greatest promise. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Paul speaks of that when he writes to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, and he describes this and states, to Abraham was the gospel preached. This is just as much the gospel as what Christ told Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here is the promise of God's Son. That Son of God, his only begotten Son, that thought of Mount robbery to be equal with the Father and with God, took on him the form of a man, born of a virgin. All of that we have throughout Scripture, the message of the coming of Christ. And here he says, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is not just to Abram's physical descendants. It is not just those that have his blood in them. It is all the families. This includes both the descendants of Abraham and all the Gentiles. So right here in the beginning of God's calling Abraham, he gives the promise of Christ. And as I said, I believe this is a better description of the covenant of grace than probably any other place that we have in Scripture. There are many references to the gospel and the coming of Christ, but here, this is later called a covenant. It is called a covenant by Peter, as it's recorded in Acts chapter 3. We read there, the last part of that third chapter, Peter's words to the audience before him. He says, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant of our fathers, God saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Peter is there referring back to what God said to Abraham and what we just read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, the covenant made with Abraham, God saying to him, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Peter applies that blessing of the coming of Christ, the Son of God, which is also, as it were, the son of Abraham, from Abraham's descendants, later called the son of David, so David's descendants, all one and the same. And here, more the blessing is on sanctification. When we read, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities, turning us from our sins. The Lord Jesus does that as a prophet. Yes, he is the priest to pay for our sin, but as a prophet, he turns us from our sins, and here called iniquities. When Paul refers back to the same covenant and calls it a covenant, as we have it, as I said, in Galatians chapter 3, referring back to what God said to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3, we read in the 8th verse, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Sometimes we read families, and sometimes we read all nations, but it is all families, all nations. And then a little further, in that same chapter, in the 17th verse, Paul refers back to what God had told Abraham, stating, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years later after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. So here, Paul is calling that covenant a promise. Sometimes the covenant is an agreement because it is a conditional agreement. People have to do something to have the fulfillment of it. But in this, what God will do in Christ, he does because of Christ, not because of us. Because of what Christ paid on the cross. He deals with us because of the blood, because of that payment made, of which Christ said on the cross, it is finished. And that is truly grace. It is all because of Christ. If it had come to us, it would never happen. Because as God said by the pen of the psalmist, and Paul repeated in Romans chapter 3, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And in regard to the gospel, He says, there is none that seeketh God. None, none, none. God has to seek us. God has to come to us, like he did to Paul on the road to Damascus. Appeared to him suddenly, mightily, wonderfully. Stopped him, saved him. Told him what to do next. Told him where to go. And he said, it will be told thee what thou must do. And then he sent Ananias to tell Paul what to do. He says, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And that same message must come to us, to call on the name of the Lord. Have you called to be saved, like Paul had to do? As I said, this is truly a covenant of grace. When we move on, the other covenants are more conditional. When God said he would promise the land, he did promise the land. Absolute promise being fulfilled today. God is giving it to the descendants of Abraham. But it's also, in one way, the blessings of it are conditional. When they were obedient, they were blessed. When they kept the law, they had God's blessings. We can read that very much in Moses' farewell message to Israel, Deuteronomy 28. If they would be obedient, they would be blessed. If they would be disobedient, they would be cursed. And they were. As I said, the first time we really have the word covenant is in Genesis 15. There God calls what he had promised earlier a covenant. Genesis 15, verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. He gave that promise already in the 12th chapter, the 7th verse. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord. But there, though he gave the promise, he did not call it a covenant. In the 15th chapter, he calls it a covenant. Moses writes it down that way. One place is called a covenant, the other was not. And that is what we call the covenant of circumcision. We won't go into that in detail, but the covenant of circumcision, it's often called the covenant of grace, but in Romans chapter 2, verse 25, we read, the covenant of circumcision profiteth if you keep the law. That is conditioned on the law, very much shown in the history of Israel. When they kept the law, they were blessed in the land. When they broke the law, they were put out of the land one time for 70 years. Even though the land was there, laid idle, nobody else could take it over. They went back to it, but they could not be blessed in it. And that's what we have to see. The covenant in Christ is truly a covenant of grace, and only in Christ, not in circumcision. You can only be blessed in circumcision and other things related to it in keeping God's law, which none of us does. You don't, I don't, nobody does. Christ did. And he died because we didn't. Do you believe it?
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord.